Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We are live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, as we are every week. Always exciting. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos is back at our studios. What's up, JoJo?
What are those studios called, pal?
I hate it when you do that. I don't have this pulled up. They're called the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, and they are home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Always. Had a fun night last night.
Did you mute your computer?
Huh? Oh, did I? I don't know why it's on. How do you hear that and I don't?
Because I hear background noise and it drives me nuts.
Okay. All right. We're better
there
now.
There we go.
Shout out to the Pancake Pantry last night. We celebrated our show over there with a special event. Thank you, Tammy Beauclair, for inviting us out. That was a lot of fun last night. And so it was a fun evening. We got out.
It was.
And seeing Dr. Crane after dark, I mean, dressed up, Dr. Crane. He looked pretty handsome last night, buddy.
Had his bow tie on. It was great.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, I try to dress to impress every once in a while.
Well, you did a good job.
Well, you did it. The Grinch last night really liked you, so that was something else. So, fun night.
Thank Nani for letting you out of the house
for a little bit.
I know it was past your bedtime, but it was good to see you.
What's your curfew, Dr. Crane? 6?
Yeah. I mean, I'm normally in bed around like 7:30, and then I just wake up super early. But yeah, I'm glad I got to be out past my curfew, and she was all right with it. It wasn't too bad. She just asked to lock the door behind me when I got in. I was like, all right, we'll do.
Okay, that's cool.
Nikki, where are you been?
And she's like, I want to read to you Goodnight to Moon.
She actually did read Goodnight Moon to me.
Oh, really?
Not last night, but you know, in previous years when I was a kid, yeah.
It's okay if it was last night.
Yeah, that's okay, buddy. I miss reading.
I love that book.
I read all those books to my kids. I truly do miss doing that because they were so innocent and it was fun. But we'll read it to you one day on the show, Dr. Crane.
Do you ever, like, you know, there's obviously you read to your kids and all that stuff. But, like, I was big into Dr. Seuss. My mom had a bunch of Dr. Seuss books. It never fails that I will read at least every couple of years, Oh, the Places You'll Go.
And you
just feel better after you read that.
Right. By the way, he wasn't an actual doctor.
I know. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up.
I would read my kid's book. My son loved it when I'd read him to a Hannibal Lecter voice. I mean, he loved it. And he had no idea where that voice came from. But he would love it. So we would spend, years just reading books like that. Good times like that.
Oh, very good. Not good times for the Predators. They go on the road to Washington and can't get it done. Fall 3-2. I thought they played better at spurts in the game. It looked like in the third period they might have tied it up and challenged the ruling on the ice. They ultimately didn't win the challenge. Goaltender interference was called. And so Alex Ovechkin had gotten the game winner, and the Capitals win 3-2 in Washington. But the Preds will have a quick turnaround as they'll play the Florida Panthers tonight. Max Herr is going to join us at 9:30. We'll get his perspective on everything going on, but really need to get this turned around.
After the expectations, I'm looking at NHL standings right now, and to see them in single-digit points, why everybody in the league but the Flyers have double digits, some already in the 20s, is concerning.
Yeah.
It really is. After the offseason and bringing these guys in and just immediately thinking, well, these guys are champions, they're warriors, they're winners, and to see this hockey team where it is right now, if I was a betting man, I've lost every penny on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing. This is the concern. It's one thing to have a slow start. It's one thing to kind of need to take time for everything to gel. Like, I assumed that was going to happen. I wasn't expecting them to win 10 in a row to start the season. But to struggle this bad,
yeah,
where especially 5-on-5, you just see just a lot of disjointedness. They're not crashing the net. That's been what Andrew Brunette has really been preaching. You know, that's where I'm really concerned. I'm like, this looks like this doesn't look like a good team right now. And
you're
that
correct.
Scares me.
Yeah. I don't know what – I mean, obviously – you get a chance to turn it around tonight, but you're also turning around against might be the best team in hockey in the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, they're 9-3-1.
Yep,
you're 4-8-1.
Not good, man. No.
So I mean, that's kind of where you're at this point in time. But we'll see. We'll talk to Max more about that coming up at 9:30, 10:30 today. I'm excited about this because you know, if you look back in Titans history and think of a certain play that is pretty famous. You know, when you listen to Mike Keith's call, the first part of that famous call is, it's fielded by Lorenzo Neal.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Neal, Low Neal, will join us at 10:30 today. Looking forward to that.
And good job you getting him on here because we have seen, and you're watching college football, the return, kind of the fullback.
Yeah.
And they do the spread, but, you know, a lot of teams are getting those third and one, fourth and one situations, and they need a fullback to clear the path. And so it's kind of making a comeback in football. And, of course, he was an amazing running back when he's with the Saints. He had over 1,000 yards, and he transcended into a fullback.
Yeah.
Who, look, man, I'm telling you, when you got a running back who looks for contact.
Oh, yeah.
You got a good running back. And Lorenzo Neal looked for contact every single time. And you look at all these, you know, Eddie George credits him for clearing the way out. Jamal Lewis.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
I mean, he played for the Chargers, too, after he left here.
Yep.
And or he went to Baltimore and then there. But when LT went in the Hall of Fame, I mean, Low Neal was there. He was thanking Low Neal for clearing the way for him.
And I tell you why football fullbacks are coming back, because nobody likes to tackle anymore.
Yeah.
They want to just throw their head down there. So with a fullback, he's just going to run over you like Mike Allstott. They're going to blow by you. You're going to hang on for dear life. And a lot of the DBs and secondary, the back four, they don't like contact. You know, some of the linebackers don't like contact. So you get a fullback who's looking for contact, you're going to win that battle every single time.
Yeah. So looking forward to talking to Lorenzo Neal coming up here at 10:30 today. You know, speaking of the Titans, are you at the point where it's like,
don't care?
They have, well, yeah, but they're in your periphery, because obviously with what we do, I mean, you know, you got to pay attention, but you kind of listen a little bit to what's coming out over there. You know, some guys are hurt, but at the same time, it's like, just get me to Sunday. just get the
give
game.
Give me a Sunday.
Like, I don't care about, like, I mean, I do, but at the same time, it's like, I just want to watch the game.
Right. Oh, I'm with you, man. And this game against the Chargers, I mean, you're not expecting them to win. West Coast game. So go out there, and nobody's thinking you're going to win the game, and just go out and play and have fun. And I really would like to see, from now on, Will Levis just let it go. I don't think we will. I think it'll be Mason Rudolph, because
I actually think it will be Will Levis.
Do you?
Yeah.
What makes you think that?
Because Titans coach Brian Callahan said earlier on Wednesday the team planned to increase the reps for quarterback Will Levis this week. He was a limited participant Wednesday. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it will be Mason Rudolph.
Did you ever think this football team on August 1st would be this bad?
No. I didn't look, I didn't know what they were going to be. I think I had them at like 8 wins,
yep,
8 or 9, which I thought was kind of right where they were supposed to be. Now looking at it, I guess that was overly optimistic.
Who's winning that game at the station? Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Ian, too. I think Ian may have had them at like 4 wins.
Damn it, Ian. I just saw when they went into camp with no depth at defensive line, guys I'd never heard of, and all the questions still at offensive line. Now, yeah. Look, the receivers, you added all those guys, and Tony Pollard's playing fantastic.
He's fine.
He's doing well, and I just like there's no depth at D-line. There's no pass rushing, and the offensive line still stinks. And then, of course, the incident at training camp happened, and I was like, okay, this is a 5-12 team. Anything beyond that, I think it's remarkable. But, I mean, you got to go out and play the game on Sunday, and you play the Chargers. And, look, they almost beat the Chargers. Was it 2 years ago they went out there?
Yeah, maybe. They just don't play well out there.
That was
whether
the game
it's San Diego or LA.
Was that the game Tannehill was looking through the tent?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was. But no, but I would love to see Will Levis just go out there and throw the ball and just have open the playbook up and have fun. Just let it go. You have 8-9 games to evaluate him. Who knows what could happen? You already know what you get in Mason Rudolph. See what you can get now.
Here's the problem, though. They had a walkthrough practice on Wednesday, so they're not even having a full practice right now, which tells you how the team is. Jeffrey Simmons didn't practice because of rest. Legarius Sneed did not practice. Tyler Boyd, limited. They just signed veteran Mike Edwards. I mean, they just got a ton of guys that are banged up. Ridley was limited. Radens was limited. Pollard was limited. Hooker was limited. I mean, it just – Spears limited. And then Trey Avery was a full participant. But, I mean, you know, you get these guys that get to this point now where hardly anybody's practicing. You know, it just
– And you're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
You know, a miserable time covering this team was 2014 and 15. You just knew – And this is the same feeling. I mean, it's the same feeling over there. And beating the Patriots, yeah, I know the Patriots are terrible, but a win's still a win. But, man, now you got to go out there to the West Coast. And, you know, if you look at the schedule going forward, Vikings are here next week.
Oh,
I mean, they're going to throw the ball all around the field. And they've got a great defense. But all you can control is the game in front of you. And it's a tall task for Brian Callahan, man. And it's just – and nobody talks about the Titans. There's no bump around – I mean, it really is. It's Tennessee and Vandy football.
Yeah.
All the people I talk to, it's Tennessee and Vandy football. College football this year's, and you can bring the ratings at me. I do not care. But I'm telling you, all the NFL has got to be jealous of college football. Has to be. Because college football.
They don't care.
But I'm talking.
I know what you mean.
The excitement, the passion. NFL's got none of that right now.
No.
You're right. They don't care. Right. I know that. They don't care.
What's interesting when you look at – you just mentioned the schedule. So, at the Chargers, Vikings here, at Houston, at Washington. Then you get into week 14 in December. There's a month, basically the last month of the season, that, all right, you might find some wins. Jacksonville here, Cincinnati here, at Indy, at Jacksonville, and then Houston's here in the last week, but you got to figure they're going to have something locked up by then. So that might even be that. That's five games that you might be able to find some wins out of.
Maybe.
But you might be so bad that they're thinking, oh, there we go. There's a dub.
Yeah.
Playing Tennessee.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just kind of where they're at. Because the other thing that nobody ever wants to admit, guys do get checked out. And this team's already starting to do that.
Oh, you think so?
Like, yes. Like, they start looking at, you know, tee times and booking vacations. And that's why I always make the joke, Cancun on three, you know, for a team that's out of it. I mean, like, this team might have been, you know, and look, they played hard. They won a game last week. But I bet you there's some guys in that locker room that they've been Cancun on three for the past 3 weeks.
It's when we talk about it, I almost check out. I'm like, what else can you talk about on this football team?
Right.
It's nothing there. You know, and you got Vanderbilt down the road who's playing great. Tennessee, you know, has made in the initial top 12 playoff and big games this weekend. It's like, all right, thank goodness for college football because the Preds are terrible, Titans are terrible, and right now college football is saving us.
Yeah, college football in general is just fun. Right now.
It is.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're up and running here on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Mac's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, talk some hockey with him, but we'll continue the football discussion coming up next. 1025-1063, the game. These days are ours. It's Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Yeah. The TV theme Thursday.
What a great show.
Oh, it's a fantastic show. We just had the Fonz's birthday not long ago.
Right. And they were in town at Gallatin for some Gallatin Comic Con.
Oh, really?
A couple weeks ago, yeah. Ralph, Mouth, Potsy, and then the Fonz were there. We're all there. I got a question for our audience, and it's just something that bugged me today. At a red light, when somebody doesn't go how long before you honk? Because there was a lady today on her phone that I waited a good 10 seconds at a red light, and I'm not a patient man before I honked. I'm just curious. Do you honk at people at a red light when they don't go?
Yeah.
What's your time limit?
About 2 seconds.
2 seconds.
And look, I expect the same thing from me because I've been guilty of it. Like, especially, like, if I'm the lead car and I'll, you know, check my phone for a second and then I get a honk. Like, hey, no, you're good.
So you don't get mad? Do you now, get mad to get honked at?
The only time I get mad is, like, literally when it turns green and they honk.
Okay.
Then I'm going to get out and fight you. Because it's like, no. You go one Mississippi, two Mississippi, then you can honk.
So you're That's a two-second guy. I'm usually about
three.
A 4 to 5 second guy.
Probably more.
But for some reason, I would just sit there and I was like, all right, are they going to notice they need to go? So my question, and you guys weigh in, 615-737-1025 on our text line, or you can call whatever. How long do you wait? And I was like, how long would you wait to honk if somebody's not going at a red light? It was on Lebanon Road at Spence Lane.
It's a great question because I do think sometimes as a country we're too impatient, but then sometimes I think we're too patient.
Yeah. But you made a point. If you're the lead dog, you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. I have less patience if I'm the second car and you're the number one car and you're sitting there, go. I mean, it's just because traffic's gotten so bad in Nashville that you have to take advantage of when the light turns green and go immediately. So I was just curious how long people waited because I waited over 10 seconds before I honked.
Gover weighs in, says about 2 seconds. The rest of the line is waiting. By being in the front of the line, you have the responsibility to pay attention.
Good
one. That's fair.
Yeah, that's right. That's I'll 100%. Take that.
615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How long do you wait to honk at a car at a red light?
You know who I bet doesn't honk? Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane, I guarantee you don't honk, do you?
I do, actually.
No. I was about to say I could see it.
Well, here's the thing. Initially, when I started driving back in high school, I was not a big honk person. I didn't really like pressing it because I just felt it was too aggressive. Now, I feel like with all these people moving to Nashville, you kind of get that New York mentality of like, listen, if you ain't going, I got to press the horn. And so
you didn't want to honk it, huh?
Yeah. No honking.
So,
especially not a honk Tua. You're like, I'm not doing that.
No, but I'm with honking. Chase on this. It's about 2 seconds, and then
I am shocked.
A good indicator is if it's a double turn lane and you see the car to the left of the lead car go and the car you're behind doesn't go, that's when you lay the horn. You got to lay the horn.
Dr. Green, I'm going to be honest with you. Like you are one of the nicest people. You have been raised very well by your parents and your nanny, and like there's no doubt about that. I can see you. You know, just being stopped at a red light and somebody just rubs you the wrong way and you just get out and smash their headlights with a baseball bat. I could totally see that.
It's possible. There was one guy.
With a smile on your face.
There was one guy. I was driving home from work one day and he was driving a truck and his back bumper was all messed up. And he's like spiking his brakes on me. I'm like, dude, what is wrong with this guy? And I go to the left of him. He goes, hey, can you stop riding my brakes? I'm like, dude, I'm not riding anything. I'm riding my car back to my house. I'm going to tell you that right now. I rolled my window down. I was like, I don't really have confrontations during traffic.
Hey, buddy.
But if it's 5 o'clock, if it's 5 o'clock and there's a lot of cars bumper to bumper, you have no jurisdiction to say anything to me. I'm just saying.
I am shocked that you two are the guys I thought would wait about 8 or 9 because you're very kind of relaxed and subdued. And here I am, the guy that flies off the handle when, you know, anything that goes on. But I'm proud of you two. I mean, I'm not proud. I think I'm just like, I'm kind of different feeling about you two.
615-737-1025. Hair Metal Henry says, 3 seconds and thanks for shutting Pancake Pantry down for your stupid event, the one night I want pancakes.
For your stupid event. Hey, pal, you went to Riverside Bar and Grill in East Nashville, and Chase didn't get an invite. Ricky didn't get an invite. JoJo didn't get an invite. So you have no room to talk here, Middle Henry.
JD, 3 seconds max. Pay attention. We all have places to be. The lead dog is most important because it's a chain reaction.
It is. And I told you the story last week about me breaking down 11 Road and getting yelled at by everybody honked at. I get that. You know, that's fine. But I think this is different, you know, when you're sitting at a red light and not moving.
Adam in Portland says, 3 seconds max. At 10 seconds, I'm bashing my steering wheel and practicing bad words. Also, anything over 5 seconds, I'm staring hard at them, looking at them, like they are a math problem on the blackboard of Goodwill Hunting.
Oh, have you ever honked at anybody and they got out and pointed at you?
Yeah.
It happens. It has happened. I just laugh. I laugh. And I don't do it anymore, you know, pretty much, if you get out of the car, because you never know in these days what's
going
to happen. See,
that's the thing. It's like there have been a few things that have happened recently that I want to give you the, you know, one finger salute or, you know, something like that. But it's like, man, people are just nuts now.
This has been years now, but this is the one that got me. Is there I honked at a lady, would not going at a red light. It was a four-way stop, wouldn't go. She kept letting other cars go. I'm like, just go. And I honked at her, and she got out, and she gave me the thumbs down. And I was like, how do you come back? There's no comeback from an old lady who gives you the thumbs down. I mean, she wins that. I was like, good for you. 1-0 you.
Yeah. Ben says, I don't go right away because people that are late trying to run the yellow, plus big trucks can't stop sometimes. I always look both ways before I go on green.
That's smart. That should be like a second to do that. But anything more than 5 seconds, and I don't know why I waited 10. I was just like, okay.
I always look, and if I see a Beamer or a Lexus or a Mercedes or something coming, I'm like, hey, let's go.
Yeah, do it, right? Ouch.
It's God's
will.
Number,
what's that number for Blair Durham?
Call, exactly. Blair, I have you on standby.
Hey, busy?
Brian about Juliet. 2 seconds is the maximum before you haul. Also, if you're the lead car, you do not get to use your phone. Put it up or let somebody in front of you.
That's great advice.
That's actually really good.
Thank you, Brian. That's perfect.
Dave says, give them a beat, then a quick double honk. Feels like a friendlier, yo, let's go. Single long honk is too aggressive.
A double honk? Meek, meek. That's good.
I like that.
Are they friendly? That's a friendly honk. Yeah.
That's a friendly honk.
Okay, thank you for that, Dave.
Man, it's just crazy. Like driving story, because our text line is blowing up now. Driving stories are always the best because we've all, like, if you really think about everything we're talking about, we have been on both sides of it.
Yeah,
we've all been guilty of it.
Yep.
And if you're like, I've never done that, you're lying. But like the other day, I'm on 440, and I can see it. Like I feel it. It's about to happen. There's a guy. I'm in the far left lane. I'm cruising along. There's a guy in the right lane. He's not paying attention. He starts coming over, and I lay on the horn. And I thought, like, it was going to cause a 5-car pileup because he swerves, like, swerves. And then, like, he's just – you look at him, and he's just
– Where on 440 were you?
Nolensville. My Nolensville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just got on there. Okay. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like so many people don't pay attention these days, and you got to worry about all that goes on. But – the friendly honk, maybe I'll try that from now. That's like beep, beep, little roadrunner.
Joey wants to weigh in on our phones. Joey, what's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. It's been a minute since I've been on here. So this is a big thing, actually, in my household. My wife is one of the kindest and most patient people I know. But this woman, I swear to God, when the red light turns red, she just forgets she's in a car. And I even have to get on to her about, like, hey, I'll point at the light. Like, I count one. When I'm behind people, it bugs the crap out of me, too. So I'll be like, I'll count 1, 2. And when I'm about to say 3, my hand's in the air ready to hit the horn. If they don't move, I'm hitting it. My wife, it bugs me because I don't like getting honked at. Because just like you, Chase, I'll hop out the car and say, what, bro? But, yeah, I watch the red light. And when it turns green, I point it. And my wife, that's caused more arguments in my marriage than anything
else. Nice. Thanks, Joey.
Thank you, guys. Love you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you, man.
This is a great one. 2657. Honked at a guy at a red light in Madison. He got out, pulled a gun on me.
No.
I'm a police officer and was in uniform in my POV. Got out and arrested him.
Yes! Back the blue, baby! Nice!
I love that.
Just raise your hand and say, my bad, and I've done it before. I've been guilty.
My bad,
and I am so sorry.
There's so many times where I wish that I was this undercover, you know, super powerful, like, cop, and somebody does something stupid, and I'm just, like, pull the badge out. I'm like, get on... Come on. Hands behind your back.
Oh, like
we all
yes.
We've all seen too many action movies where it's just like we want to be that guy.
Yeah. Well, like in 48 Hours, and Reggie Hammond was telling Nick Nolte's character, only reason we didn't fight you is because you had a badge.
Exactly.
That was the only reason we didn't do all that. So I'm just curious about that because, like I said, you good point. I'll be on both sides.
Wes wants to weigh in real quick. What's up, Wes?
Oh, guys, if the answer is more than 2 or 3 seconds here, then if it's not 2 or 3 seconds, there's not another answer. I just have to add to this. And I drive a Sprinter van around Nashville 4 or 5 days a week, so I feel like I'm qualified to say this. I get stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic twice a day, every single day. And I try my hardest to watch out for the motorcycles. All I ask is that you just stay in one lane and stop passing me in the middle of the road in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And we, like, none of us are moving. You can't move either. That's all I got.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
That's fair. Thanks, Wes. Appreciate it. Good stuff. We'll get back to this. Obviously, I think this therapy session helped people.
Absolutely. Helped me. Thank you.
We'll talk to Max Herz. See what's going on with the Predators as they fall last night, 3-2 in Washington. They'll play Florida tonight. We'll talk to Max next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Predators fall 3-2 to the Washington Capitals last night. They're back at it tonight in Florida. We'll have pregame coverage with Robbie Stanley at 5, and then Max Herz and Hal Gill on the call just after 6 o'clock. Max joins us now here on the program. Hello, Maxie. How are you?
Hi, guys. I forgot it was theme song day. I should have made a request to Dr. Crane. I didn't recognize what that one was.
It's TV theme Thursday, so I don't know. I didn't know that one either. But nonetheless, Predators lose last night 3-2. They actually started off the game by scoring first. Juuso Parsonen on that line that came together in the very last minute. Let's kind of start with that. What did you learn knowing that Luke Evangelista was supposed to be a healthy scratch, and then something happens in warmups with Tommy Novak, and they got to completely scrap that plan? Evangelista goes in and then gets the primary assist on the first goal.
Yeah, the last minute line. Two guys who had basically been on the practice squad for 2 weeks, which is something that doesn't exist in the NHL, in Juuso Parsonen and Phil Tomasino. And then Evangelista, who they were trying to wake up with a health bomb, as the cool hockey kids say. And I think they got the effect of it without him having to actually sit out the game. He was motivated. All three of those guys played well. They played together, and they played together for pretty much the entire game, and we'll see on the availability of the other centers tonight on the short end of a back-to-back, with Novak and Sissons both being injured yesterday. But I think they'll do everything they can to keep that line together because of how they looked yesterday. It was by far the best that all three of those players have looked this season, let alone maybe all of last season as well for Tomasino and Parsonen. And so that was exactly what they needed from those guys. They need their depth scoring, and those guys are the depth scoring.
What did you think, even in, let's just put the final score aside, what did you think about the play? Did you see improvements in what Andrew Brunette and company were looking for?
Yeah, I think it was better. It was they showed what Bruno had said he hoped to see on the road, which is getting to the harder areas, more sustained puck possession, not trying to be too flashy. They corrected a lot of their 5-on-5 offensive deficiencies from the first month of the season. It was by far Steven Stamkos' best even strength game. The worry is they still gave up a ton of grade A chances to the Capitals. They had a ton of missed assignments, especially on rebounds, second, third, and fourth first defensively. And that's where a couple of the goals came from. So UC Saros stopped like 7 of them that should have been goals on chances like that. But 2 of them went in, and then Alex Ovechkin hit one that you're not going to stop no matter what you're going to do. And if you only score 2, you're going to lose that game 3-2, and they did.
We're talking with my best friend Max Herz, Nashville Predators, on the road tonight against the Florida Panthers. Max, I was listening to you on the way home last night, and the goal that was reviewed and called off in the third period, you made a good statement, you and Hal. All the players that were within that goal on the ice at the time were adamant that was a goal. So I didn't get to see the replay, but was there goalie interference on that? Because like you talked about, it's like the players are absolutely sure that there was no goalie interference.
Yeah, there are a couple things that we kind of came away with putting our heads together after the game on this one with all the broadcasters together, because Hal and I do get to see the TV broadcast, but the TV broadcasters are going to have better angles of it because they're looking at the TV screens and being told what's coming next and what's happening. So the two things we came away with, one of which I made a point to say on the radio, because these reviews are confusing, and in the NHL, not a lot of things can be challenged. The majority of things are just league reviews. This is a challenge. Goalie interference and offside are the two most common challenges. The big thing was the referees said the puck went into the net and the whistle had not blown. That much had been decided. All that was being reviewed is whether or not there was goalie interference. So it wasn't about whether the puck was frozen or covered or anything like that. They determined the puck went in. And the Preds were hacking and whacking at it. The referee, Michael Markovich, was on top of the goal where he's supposed to be, and he saw that the puck was still moving. And they made the call on the ice after some deliberation that it was goalie interference. And Mark Delgazzo, who would have scored his first NHL goal on this play, got pushed in to the goalie by a Capitals player, Nick Dowd. And that's why the Preds challenged, because they thought he got pushed in. And if you push somebody into your own goalie, that's not supposed to be goalie interference. But I guess in this case, the fact that the call on the ice was interference wasn't enough to overturn. But the explanation that the league published from the Situation Room made it seem like they had conclusive evidence that it was interference. So, I mean, this is one of the murkiest rules in pro sports. It has been for a long time. And the Preds would not have challenged if they did not think they had an 80-90%+ chance of winning the challenge.
Well, not only that, but, you know, your description of the call, which was all great, and just, you know, talking about the guys on the ice being so adamant that that was a goal and celebrating, I was like, you know, if they're that close and see them, they're on the ice and feel that way, then it's a goal. And I was shocked when they did not overturned it.
Yeah, I mean, the puck went in, the players saw the puck went in, the referees acknowledged it went in, and a different rule that the Preds did not agree with was what flipped it, unfortunately.
So I hear that when you guys landed, what, at 2 in the morning, straight to South Beach, or what, did you go to the hotel? What did we do?
Yeah, well, Hal Gill wanted to take me down to the beach, but I said we'll wait till this afternoon.
What's the schedule for the team? Will they have a morning skate? I mean, it's just all these back-to-back-to-back games.
No, they didn't even skate yesterday. So the way they've been running these back-to-backs so far this season is they'll skate the day before. So this time they practiced in Nashville on Tuesday, then flew to D.C., didn't skate before the game last night, just went to the arena for the game, and they'll do the same today. So they'll have their video and their pre-scout meetings and things like that. But, yeah, they'll just head down to the arena, and it's an interesting matchup rest-wise because the Predators are in a really busy stretch of 7 games in 12 days, which is a lot and not a lot of days off. So this is game 5 out of 7 in that stretch. And the Panthers have not played since Saturday, but their last 2 games were in Finland for the Global Series. So they've won 5 in a row. They haven't played since Saturday. They just flew back from the other side of the world. And the Predators have played like 8 games since the last time they played. So both teams in unique situations rest-wise going into tonight. And you think that would evidence that the Preds would have a strong start, and then the Panthers would come on a little bit later as the Preds would get tired. That's kind of the stereotype of how that would work. But like I said, this is a very uncommon situation on both ends.
Max Herz is with us. And, you know, so along those lines, I would assume we'll see Scott Wedgwood in that tonight since Saros played last night. But the big question for me is, if Sissons and Novak can't go tonight, what does this lineup look like for Andrew Brunette? I mean, you can put Jankowski back in, I guess, but could we potentially see a call-up?
I would Wedgwood, I think, will start, first of all, to address that part of it. I'd be surprised if they went Saros in both ends of a back-to-back this early in the season. I mean, they have Jankowski. Even if Sissons and Novak both don't play tonight, they have enough forwards and enough centers to play tonight's game. So I think as long as Jankowski is well enough to play, he did miss a game with an injury last week, but last night, as far as I know, he was a healthy scratch. So I think you have enough centers to do that. Would you put Parson in back as the second line center then, or would you maybe give Jankowski a shot there to keep Parson in with Evangelista and Tomasino like they were last night? I think that's probably going to be tempting for the coaches after how good that line looked yesterday on three guys that they've gotten nothing out of so far this year. So don't be mad at me if I'm wrong. I would not expect a call up on this short notice, but I have no inside information on that.
Yeah. Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see. Max, appreciate it, my friend. Great job on the call, and we'll be listening to you and Hal tonight.
Thank you, Joe. You're my best friend, too.
Appreciate you, Maxie. Thank you, buddy.
Max Hurst joining us from Sunrise, Florida, as the Predators take on the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers tonight. Again, we'll have pregame coverage for you at 5. The puck drop just after 6 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, as they look to try and get things turned around. Two-game road trip, back at it here Saturday against Utah, and then they hit the road for 5 games, which I think they're gonna. I think they need that. They need that team bonding time that you see on the road, and maybe somebody needs to schedule a U2 concert and then cancel it.
Well, maybe Trotz is going to say, "Hey, I'm going to pull this car over. You don't get your stuff together.
If you don't get this, I'm going to turn this car around."
Trotz driving the big old bus. We have more of our question. How long do you wait before you honk? Somebody on Twitter's given us a new catchphrase about how long do you wait until you honk at somebody at a red light. And we got all these responses. We'll get into it.
We'll get into that coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 6:30 for our college football game of the week. Alabama and LSU, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. I hear you can get this on VHS.
Oh, my
God. Right, Dr. Crane?
Yes, you can.
Oh, my goodness.
Little Dallas bringing us back on a TV theme Thursday. Chasing Big Joe live at Kitchen Notes here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Our question of the day, how long do you wait to honk at somebody at a red light? Yep. The average is like 2 to 3 seconds is what I'm saying.
And it started because I waited about 10 seconds today because I don't know why. Lebanon and Spence Lane. And you know who you are that was holding the traffic up. So no, do better. Better than that.
Just once, I want one of these people that we're complaining about in traffic to actually be listening and call.
Say, I'm sorry. I had no idea about all that. So Andy Peterson. Andy, thank you for doing this. He says, you wait the shortest amount of time that can be measured, not a nanosecond or a millisecond, but a honk a second. And so, Andy, you're not he says, I don't want credit for it. Andy Peterson, you're getting credit for this. A honk a second. So what is a honk a second? Is that 3 seconds?
I mean, there are people like as soon as it, like the moment it turns green.
I won't do
and
that.
It scares me. And then I want to fight you.
Yeah.
Like, because when I get startled, I just, like, this rage just comes through me. Like, how dare you?
But when it's your fault, you are like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, there is, like, as soon as it turns green, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, wait a second or two.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Three is probably right. You know, one.
And you know what? Two. Usually, like, the person that does that, that's, like, behind me, is in like a little Honda Civic or something, like a tiny little car.
Yeah,
and it's like
honking at you.
Like you just want to feel you want to feel big. You want to feel better.
So what happens if you honk 3 seconds and they don't move? You go again.
I just lay on it.
You didn't do the friendly beep beep.
No, I just lay on it because then I know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're trying to get you going, agitating you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's not just me you're pissing off. Yeah. You're pissing off people behind me.
But whoever texted earlier, which was great, if you're the lead dog, no phone. Put your phone down.
Yeah, I agree with that. Will in Nashville, 2 seconds if you're in a rush, but on a normal day, 4 seconds max, and then hit the horn. That's fine.
4, okay.
5102, I'll wait the entire light sequence just so no one confuses me for a New Yorker.
That's a long time.
Maria Mount Juliet, I have a turn left light at my son's school, and it only stays green for 7 seconds. Then four or five cars can turn before it goes red again, so I honk immediately. That's the other thing. Like, if you know the red light pattern of, like, hey, we don't have long here. Like I feel like when you're stopped at it, you know, it's one of those that you're stopped for, like, 5 minutes. You need to get out and be like, all right, everybody, we know our assignments. As soon as this thing goes green, we're going, okay? We're going, going, going. That's what we got to do.
That's right.
Sorry, I got excited there. 8836, sorry, Big Joe. I was busy looking at Twitter political memes. You'd understand if you'd let me forward you a few.
Oh, no, I've got a guy named Ricky and Chase who do that very well.
Yeah. Rebecca, if they honk way too soon, then I'm going really slow.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever – okay, here's a question. If there's somebody behind you, you're on, like, a main highway or whatever, and they've just – they've been a jerk. They've honked or they've, you know, been right on your bumper and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done the – you're like, the red light, it's gone yellow. You know it's turning red, and you go through it, and they get caught at the light?
Absolutely.
Or I'm guilty of this.
Uh-oh.
It changed. There was a cop there, and they ran the – like, I barely got through, but they ran the red light, and they got pulled over.
Leaving your house, I was fine, and then a car came out of nowhere and got right on my tail the entire way up to the red light
from
the brew house.
Yeah, they'll do that.
I mean, just – and so when I know they're doing that, I'm going to go 10 miles slower.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went really slow, and then they honked and went the other way at the red light. But, you know, they're always a tough guy when they're leaving you. When they're going the other way, knowing you can't do that. But, no, yeah.
Yeah, of course. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to our question of the day throughout the show. Coming up next, a little college football. Because
yes, sir.
College football is good for the soul, and it has been a lot of fun. There's some big games coming up this weekend, including on 94.9 The Fan Saturday. Vanderbilt will take on South Carolina, beginning with pregame at 1:30. And kickoff at 3:15. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and on thegamenashville.com.